AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scotland are in action away to Liechtenstein and have a 2-0 lead as the second half is just about to kick off. Greg Taylor's Celtic exit is edging ever closer with a move to Pauk on the cards, and could Cyril Dessers be joining him in Greece? I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Hugh Keevans.
Well, Andrew, you can't cane Scotland for their defeat against Iceland at Hampden on Friday night and then say of this game against Liechtenstein, it's just a friendly. They're going about their business in a professional manner. It's a bang average game punctuated by goals, both scored by Che Adams. And if he gets a third, he'll be the first Scotland player to score a hat-trick since John McGinn 7 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think any changes for Steve Clarke at the break to Che Adams' goals, as Hugh Keevans said there. I'll run through the starting lineup for that. It's Doohan in goal, of course, making his debut, a late call-up to the Scotland squad after that goalkeeping injury crisis on Friday night. Then a back four, not a back three this time. Ralston, Hendry, McKenna and Robertson. A midfield four of Gilmore, McGinn, Ferguson and Lennon Miller in there, getting his first Scotland start. He set up the second goal and had a part to play in the first as well. Che Adams and George Hurst are the front two as Scotland get forward once again in the first minute of that second half. But I think we'll have to settle for a corner.
Well, Liechtenstein, 205 in the world rankings. As I say, I'm not going to denigrate Scotland's performance by quoting their world ranking, but they're a very poor side, and I'd be amazed if Scotland didn't score another couple at least.
Yeah, we will keep you up to date on everything that is happening over in Vaduz between Liechtenstein and Scotland. We will be here for the rest of the second half, so if you want to get your calls in on what you've seen so far or what you'd like to see for the rest of this game, maybe you want to look back on Friday night as well, because of course it was a drama-filled game against Iceland. I know there were quite a few opinions online about that and about maybe Steve Clarke and decisions he'd made. So 0141-951-1025. But I know international football is not for everyone. Maybe everyone's not interested in these types of friendlies. So maybe there's something else domestic club related that you want to talk about. It looks as if Greg Taylor is edging ever closer to confirming that Celtic exit. Celtic fans, what do you make of that? What do you think when you reflect on his Celtic career? And breaking news in the past hour or so coming out of Greece, reports that Cyril Dessers talks between AEK Athens and Rangers reportedly taking place. Rangers fans, should Cyril Dessers leave this summer? Do you want to see him stay? What will that new era with Russell Martin look like? 0141-951-1025.
Well, with regard to Dessers, it's a test of the 49ers Enterprises trading model. Celtic have surpassed Rangers for many, many years in that department. They've bought at a reasonable level and sold for major money at Celtic Park. Rangers have failed to keep up with them in that regard. But as ever, Dessers, the enigma. He scores a lot of goals but does not win over all of the fans. However, I think Rangers would be better off keeping him. Then we go to Taylor. Taylor, for me, has been a superb signing for Celtic, and I think the squad is weakened by the loss of Greg Taylor.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt you, Hugh, there. You were in full flow, but it's gone Liechtenstein 0, Scotland 3. George Hurst has got his first Scotland goal. John McGinn hit the post. It then came back out to the right-hand side. It was a cross into the box by Anthony Ralston. It was flicked on by the head of, I think, Che Adams, and George Hurst stealing in at the back post to tap in to make it 3-0 to Scotland. A good moment for George Hurst.
Yeah, and for Che Adams, you know, two goals, one assist. It is what it should be. The opposition is mediocre at best, and Scotland are simply doing what they should be doing. I thought another couple of goals and that they're on their way to more.
Get your calls in 0141 951 1025. Maybe there are some players on that bench that you'd like to see being given a run out as well. You can let us know who they are, or if it's domestic matters that are dominating your thoughts. Give us a call 0141 951 1025. Let's go to the phones and speak to Ross in Pollock. Ross, how are you?
Hi, Andrew. Hugh, hope you guys are doing all right.
Yes,
you too.
No, I'm on tonight to make a point regarding the game on Friday. I know we're winning 3-0 at the minute and everything's all rosy again in the Scotland camp, but for me on Friday, that was honestly painful to watch. And it just got me thinking on Friday, getting into these World Cup qualifiers, now would probably be the right time to pull the plug and say, look, I generally do think that a change is needed. Steve Clarke's been tremendous for us, but I think comes a time when you've basically burnt yourself out, and for me, I just don't have any confidence that Steve Clarke can take us further, and I think now would be the right time to do it.
I'm with you, Russ. I said it in my own Sunday newspaper column yesterday, to use a Scottish expression, I think he's run out of puff. He's had 6 years in the job. We got to two major finals, and for that he is to be congratulated, but our performance when we got to those two major European finals was awful. And now I think we need a fresh dynamic. I know it's difficult for Steve Clarke because in this country, we don't have that many Scottish players anymore. Every club has a huge influx of foreign players, and that makes it very difficult for the national team manager. But I just think that we're treading water now. And the result against Liechtenstein, while it's a professional performance, it alters nothing. I agree with Ross. I think there's a fresh dynamic required now.
Ross, do you not have any confidence that Steve Clarke would be able to get Scotland to the World Cup?
No, listen, Andrew, just what you said there, I think we need to commend the guy for getting us to two major tournaments, and for that I'm forever grateful. I'm only 32, and for me, seeing Scotland in a major tournament was brilliant, and it's something that I've never obviously experienced before. So for that, I commend him, but I just think, when you look at us now, Hugh's right. I think when we get to Germany last year, there's a buzz about the place that we're there. But then when you're there and you look at the games, we never really actually done much. And again, I think now comes a time where we need a bit of freshness. And I know I'm going to probably get shot down in flames here, but Spurs have just let a guy go that I think would be ideal for Scotland. And I think Ange would be somebody that I think would bring that freshness.
I did see a bit of this narrative over the weekend when it came to bad Scotland result on Friday. Ange Postecoglou being sacked, obviously very successful time in Scotland. He will have been on a lot of money at Tottenham, and you'd imagine he'll want to bounce back pretty quickly. He'll feel a bit, or very sore, I would say, after the circumstances that he gets sacked in. Is it a bit far-fetched to suggest that Scotland would be his next role, Hugh?
He's a former international manager. He managed the Australian national team. But from the Socceroos to the Scotteroos, I'm not sure about that. I think you're right to raise the financial aspect of it all. And perhaps Ange Postecoglou, the last 4 years, two at Celtic, two at Tottenham, trophy-laden years at Celtic, a major trophy win for Tottenham, first in 17 years. I just don't think he would regard Scotland as what he wants to do at the moment. I think he would be contemplating another big club job.
Do you think it's a realistic option, Ross, or is it more just hope than anything?
To be honest, Andrew, it's probably just hope more than anything, but I just think that he's been here at Celtic and he's proven up here that he can handle in the Scottish League. So, again, I think, in fact, he's actually been in a managerial job at an international stage. I think that would set him in good stead. And I generally do think it is somebody that I think it would thrive in the Scotland job. And as I say, I generally think he would bring a freshness. But for me, as I say, I think now is the perfect time to do it, because you don't want to get into these World Cup qualifiers before you know it. You've lost your first two games and then you're chasing your tail straight away. So to do it now, I think, is a perfect time.
The problem we have, Ross, is that Steve Clarke is actually under contract. It would require the SFA to sack him and to pay him compensation. And I do not detect any movement at all on that front. I don't think
you'd imagine he has quite a bit of credit in the bank with those at the Scottish FA, just given the fact that Scotland had gone so long without getting to a major tournament, and he's managed to do it twice. That might not be the same feeling among supporters, because obviously we've seen the performances when Scotland have got to the major tournament. We saw it last summer, and Scotland haven't really bounced back or managed to kick on after that. But those inside the Scottish FA may feel differently about that.
He's got goodwill in the bank at the SFA, but his credit at the bank is diminishing where Ross and other supporters are concerned. We should not be losing to Iceland, who had won one of seven games prior to Friday night's match at Hampden. We should not be losing to them at home with the nucleus of a side containing Billy Gilmour, McTominay, McGinn, Robertson, Tierney. It simply should not be happening, but it did.
Is that a concern, Ross, that when you look through that Scotland team, a lot of the players that started on Friday night, so many of them have come off the back of really successful seasons. Some of them are at the peak of their powers, doing really brilliant stuff, winning titles, winning trophies, and it just didn't translate at all really on Friday?
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, that's totally what got me on Friday, was that we've actually got players in that squad on Friday that we are predominantly picking as our first 11. So it wasn't as if we'd been out and put a B team out against them. It was actually players that we contemplated like every single game. So that was a concern. But again, I think obviously in that aspect, you've got guys like McTominay, Robertson, Gilmour that have played lots of games for their club team. So again, you can understand the fatigue, but just for me, it was just how flat we were on Friday. And again, it's just a concern that I think, as I say it, I just don't know if Steve Clark's getting a tune at them anymore. I don't know if, as I say, he's come to the end of his sell by date. I don't know what it is, Andrew, but as I say, I just think there is a concern from a Scotland fan's point of view that we're going to go into these qualifiers. I think our first game, if I'm right, I think is away to Denmark.
Correct.
And that's not going to be, that isn't going to be an easy game, Denmark are a decent side.
I get the feeling, Ross, if I took your observations to the SFA president, Michael Mulroney, and to the chief exec, Ian Maxwell, they would say, no, Steve Clark's the man for us. I detect no feeling within the governing body that they are anything other than totally enthusiastic about Steve Clark.
Well, thank you to Ross. Any more thoughts on Scotland, whether it is tonight's performance, 56 minutes in against Liechtenstein? It is Scotland 3, Liechtenstein 0, two Shea Adams goals and one from George Hurst. No changes from the bench yet. So any thoughts on that or Friday's game, let us know. 0141 951 1025. Or we are here for you when it comes to domestic matters, as always, because we know so many people have opinions about, especially Celtic and Rangers. Braden is a Celtic fan in Cumbernauld. Braden, what are you thinking tonight?
Hiya, panel. I was just wanting to make a point about Greg Taylor.
Yes.
I honestly think letting go of Greg Taylor is a big mistake, maybe towards for how injury-prone Tierney can be.
Is that a big thing about Greg Taylor over the years, that he's been such a big part of title-winning sides with Celtic, and he's won so much, but his availability has been such a big thing as well,
yeah.
Hugh, that he plays almost every game. He seems to be available all the time, and that is an attribute that is massive for managers.
Greg Taylor is going to be the definition of you don't know what you've got till it's gone for the Celtic supporters. He's been an outstanding player for Celtic, didn't get the full credit that he deserves. It now looks to be that he's on his way to Pauk in Greece, and I think the squad is diminished by the loss of Greg Taylor. The problem that Brendan Rodgers has is that Greg Taylor works, like all players, under freedom of contract. He is free to go, and he is exercising his freedom to go, but Celtic will miss him.
Can you understand Greg Taylor's side of things, Braden? Because, certainly the understanding is that Celtic really did want to keep Greg Taylor. Brendan Rodgers wanted him to stay on beyond the summer, but he's decided that probably his future lies elsewhere. Can you see why he's decided that with Kieran Tierney coming back to the club?
I do understand. Obviously, he maybe knows that he might not be a starter anymore with Tierney. But Tierney's injury prone. That's the way it is. The most worrying thing maybe about Greg Taylor going is how do you replace him? because if you're getting a backup left back, I've heard rumours about Schlupp, and I've not been convinced from the 6 months he's been here.
I think Celtic have made up their mind about Jeff Schlupp, and I don't expect him to be there next season. But there are many positions at Celtic Park that throw up question marks at the moment for me. And I think that, you know, there's been so much emphasis now for over a week, and justifiably so, on the arrival of Russell Martin at Rangers. The job that's going to be done there in terms of spending that £20 million cash flow that he has available to him. And I think Celtic fans will now be thinking, hold on a minute, if Greg Taylor goes, what's happening with him? What's happening with Maeda? What's happening with Kuhn? What's happening with Hatate? There are many question marks at Celtic right now.
Braden, are you looking forward to Kieran Tierney coming back?
Oh, of course, it's a step up in player from Greg Taylor. Greg Taylor's been a great servant for Celtic, so he's done well and he's won titles, and that's all you ask for at a player. But it's brilliant to have Tierney back.
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers was asked about how the dynamic would work next season if Kieran Tierney and Greg Taylor were both there, and he said, you know, Celtic have so many games in a season and so many big games in a season that they would both get game time. But do you think a big deciding factor could well be that Greg Taylor wants to play regular football and would want to be a main player in a team rather than a backup in a team, even if it is a team that, you know, is winning lots and lots of trophies?
Yeah, he's enjoying the peak years of his professional life. He doesn't want to sit on a bench. And clearly, everything that Brendan Rodgers has had to say on the subject of Kieran Tierney and accommodating Greg Taylor, Greg Taylor's not convinced. So he's exercised his option to go elsewhere. But I repeat, the squad for me is diminished by the loss of Greg Taylor.
Well, thank you to Braden. Any more thoughts on whether it's domestic football or international football, you can give us a call, 01419511025. It's still Liechtenstein 0, Scotland 3, 2 goals from Shea Adams, 1 from George Hurst. There has been a couple of changes made by Steve Clarke. John McGinn and Andy Robertson have come off. They both had long seasons, so pretty understandable that they're two of the players being rested. Andy Irving and Josh Doig coming on, so players that Steve Clarke will be quite keen to have a look at over the next half hour or so. You can get your calls in, 01419511025. But first, we're going to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Hugh Keevans is the only pundit in the Summer League so far that has yet to win a match.
Oh dear.
So he has something to play for, or you can try and pile the misery on him by getting another win over Hugh Keevans. 01419511025. Get your calls in now and you can be up next playing Beat the Pundit.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's a busy night because Scotland are in friendly action away to Liechtenstein. It's currently 3-0 to Scotland in that game. Shea Adams has scored twice. George Hurst has got one himself as well, his first Scotland goal. There's been a couple of changes made by Steve Clarke as they try to get forward as well. Andy Irving and Josh Doig are both on the pitch as well, so we'll see how they fare over the next 25 minutes or so. We've also been getting calls on domestic matters as well. Celtic fans, it looks as if Greg Taylor is going to seal his move away from the club. He's heavily linked with a move to Palk in Greece. Will you be sad to see him go? How do you reflect on his Celtic career? And Rangers fans, could Cyril Dessers be moving to Greece as well? Reports from Greece saying that AEK Athens are in talks with Rangers over a potential move for him. Would you want to see him go? Would you want to see him stay? 01419511025. Nathan Patterson is the next one to come on the pitch for Scotland. Not played much football with Everton of late. late a wee bit towards the end of the season, but he's getting his chance, and Tommy Conway is also coming on to the pitch as well. We'll keep you updated on what's happening in Vaduz, but we're going to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Jake in Paisley, do you fancy your chances against Hugh Keevans?
Definitely.
Definitely, I like the confidence already.
Oh, he's got every right to be confident. I'm shaming my grandchildren. Four of them are still at school. They're going to school wearing balaclavas back to front so as to avoid recognition.
Have you played before, Jake?
No, I have not.
How do you normally get on at home?
All right, sometimes, depends.
We'll see. Sometimes it can be different when the pressure's on, Hugh, can't it? But we'll see how Jake handles the pressure. Of course, there is no coin flip. There is only one pundit in the summer shows, so we will put some greatest hits radio in the ear of Hugh Keevans, so he cannot hear us and he cannot cheat. Jake, it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well, which might save you a bit of time. How does that sound?
That's perfect, mate. Cheers.
Let's do it. Name any of the goalkeepers called up after Angus Gunn and Robbie McCrory dropped out.
Ross Doohan.
New Aberdeen signing Kusini Yenge's brother plays for which SPFL side?
Livingston.
Which club did Celtic sign Greg Taylor from?
Kilmarnock.
Which Scottish Premiership club celebrate their 150th anniversary this season?
Habs.
Name any country that neighbours Liechtenstein.
Armenia.
Icelandic scorer Andri Gudjonsson is the son of which former footballer?
Ben Gudjonsson.
Okay, let's bring Hugh Keevans back in. Can you hear us, Hugh?
I can.
Let's go for it. Name any of the goalkeepers called up after Angus Gunn and Robbie McCrory dropped out.
Ross Doohan.
New Aberdeen signing Kusini Yenge's brother plays for which SPFL side?
Livy.
Which club did Celtic sign Greg Taylor from?
Kilmarnock.
Which Scottish Premiership club celebrate their 150th anniversary this season?
Hibernian.
Name any country that neighbours Liechtenstein.
Germany.
Icelandic scorer Andri Gudjonsson is the son of which former footballer?
Ider Gudjonsson.
True or false, Snoop Dogg wants to open a burger van at Celtic Park.
True.
Who was the last Scottish club Andy Robertson played for?
Dundee United.
How do you think it went, Jake?
Aye, I get beat there.
Jake had a bit of help as well in the car, which is totally fine. That's absolutely fine. I think Jake had a helping hand in the car. We don't mind. Teams of two or three are more than willing to take on the pundits. We'll see how they got on. Name any of the goalkeepers called up after Angus Gunn and Robbie McCrory dropped out. You both said Ross Doohan, who's making his Scotland debut tonight. So it is 1-1. New Aberdeen signing Kusini Yenge's brother plays for which SPFL side? Good knowledge from both of you, because it is Livingston, of course, Tete Yenge. So it goes 2-2. Which club did Celtic sign Greg Taylor from? A nice easy one, Kilmarnock. It goes 3-3. Which Scottish Premiership club celebrate their 150th anniversary this season? You both said Hibs, and you both got it right. 4-4. What a game this is so far. Name any country that neighbours Liechtenstein. You had two options. You had Switzerland, and you had Austria. No points for either of you. It remains 4-4. Icelandic goal scorer Andri Gudjonsson is the son of which former footballer? Hugh, you said either Gudjonsson. Jake, who was it you said?
I forget.
I don't think it sounded like either Gudjonsson. I can maybe get one of the producers to clear that up. But we'll see. But I'll tell you what, it's not going to matter in the end, because Hugh Keevans had the speed. He got through two more questions. True or false, Snoop Dogg wants to open a burger van at Celtic Park. Amazingly,
true.
That is true. And who was the last Scottish club Andy Robertson played for? Dundee United is the correct answer. So I think, is that a 6-4 win for Hugh Keevans on the night? Because the producer is telling me that it wasn't either Gudjonsson that Jake said, but it wouldn't have mattered anyway. It is a win for Hugh Keevans, a good win for Hugh Keevans as well. Unlucky, Jake.
Hey, thanks, man.
All right, Jake.
No problem at all. Well, a good win for you, Hugh.
Grandchildren can now turn the balaclavas round the right way.
They'll be able to show their faces again. There we go. You're off the mark. Do you feel that that'll get you kicked on for the summer?
It's a watershed moment.
It is indeed, as Scotland continue against Liechtenstein. It is still 3-0 to Scotland. They've had a couple of chances since Nathan Patterson and Tommy Conway came on, but still no more goals. We'll see if they can rack up any more before time is up. 72 and a half minutes on the clock over in Vaduz. You can get your calls in, whether it is on that, whether it's generally on the national side and how you feel it's going for Steve Clarke. Maybe you're a Celtic fan and you've got thoughts on Greg Taylor's imminent looking departure. And Rangers fans, I want to hear from you on Cyril Desser's reports in Greece today saying that AEK Athens are in talks with Rangers over a proposed move for the striker. He's got 50 goals across two seasons. Would you want to see him leave this summer, or is he someone that you feel still holds real value at the club? 0141 951 1025. David is in Cumbernauld. David, what are you thinking tonight?
I think it's time for Steve Clarke to go. The guy's won, I think it's like two games, 80-15. He's got players in there that have won English Premier League, the Italian League, probably one of the best midfields in generations. He's playing 5-4-1 against Iceland. I don't see how anybody could be continuing to make excuses for Steve Clarke.
Well, the SFA would say they're not making excuses for him. They would say that they extended his contract to take in the World Cup qualification campaign because they have absolute belief in him. I have just reached the stage, and Friday was the tipping point, reached the stage where I think we need to take a change of direction. But having said that, I remain certain that the SFA will allow him to go in against Denmark away and then Belarus away in the World Cup qualifiers. As I said, we've reached two major tournaments, but I don't regard qualification as the be-all and end-all. It's only an invitation to play in the tournament. And on both occasions in the European Championship finals, we have been terrible.
When you look at the sort of end of the Nations League campaign for Scotland, you know, there were those narrow defeats to Portugal and Croatia, the draw against Portugal, and then three wins on the bounce, beating Croatia, beating Poland, beating Greece. Obviously, that was then undone with the 3-0 defeat to Greece at Hampden. Some positive results in there, David, but is there not enough evidence there for you to suggest that there could be positive results going forward, or that Steve Clarke could be the man to get Scotland to the World Cup?
No, I don't think he... I think he's the kind of guy, he's no willing to change, and it's just blatantly obvious that it's just not working. The guy, like I said it before, but he's got players that have won the Italian League, the English League, one of the best midfields in generations, and I don't see him being able to do something with his squad. I really do think another manager could get much more out of his squad than what he's getting out of him. It's two games in like 15. It's been easier than ever to qualify for tournaments. I don't see what he's provided to this squad.
I mean, he has got Scotland to a couple of tournaments. You talk about, you know, getting the best out of players. You feel that some of the players, he's managed to get them almost better playing for their nation than their club at times, maybe not at the moment, but yeah. You look back at what he did with John McGinn, what he did with Scott McTominay, there is evidence to suggest that Steve Clarke can get the best out of these players, and he's shown it at times, but yeah. Is it the direction it appears to be going in now, Hugh? Is that the worry rather than the back catalogue that's there?
In terms of competitive matches, the direction in which it's going is from bad to worse. There will always be gratitude that Scotland got to a major final, and then back-to-back major finals, but it's been 28 years since we played in the World Cup finals. If Steve Clarke took us there, he would regard that as his personal swan song, no matter what we did when we got there. But just to get there will be a feat for this Scotland team. I'd say I have sympathy for him. Scotland is a country which does not allow much game time for Scottish players. We have to get them from teams down south. But it's just that Friday, you know, everything about us, the setup of the team, five at the back at home to Iceland, why? Nothing seemed to be middle to front going for us. And by the end of the game, I thought, he's in a bit of bother here because the fans are not going to accept this. And David on the line is one of them.
Steve Clarke just making a couple of changes in this game against Liechtenstein. Kieran Bowie is coming on for what will be his Scotland debut. Conor Barron is on the pitch as well. Billy Gilmore and Lewis Ferguson coming off. David, if you feel Steve Clarke isn't the man for Scotland, what type of manager do you feel is the one that would be able to get the best out of the Scotland players and get Scotland to a World Cup?
I think we need somebody that plays an attacking style of football. I think the defensive stuff was good when we had a solid defence, but the attacking players and the midfield players that we've got, we could be starting to dominate those areas of the pitch. And I think Steve Clarke, he just plays a kind of a Route 1 style of football that doesn't get the best out of the best players that we have. I mean, I think the goalkeeper that played for us against Iceland to play like 20 minutes of professional football, if that says it all with Steve Clarke.
Yeah, we've not had the chance to get into that at all because the game was on Friday night, Hugh. It was, you know, all took place after we went off air on Friday night. This is the first time we've managed to reflect on it. Kieran Slicker obviously had a very tough time of it on Friday night against Iceland. Now, Kieran Slicker was brought into the camp, and I think it's fair to say there wasn't any inkling that he was going to get any game time. He was essentially in there as the third choice, was there to get the experience in the hope that he'll have the potential to maybe one day be a regular in Scotland squads and play for them. Obviously then disaster strikes with Robbie McCrory getting injured before the game, Angus Gunn getting injured during the game. He has to be thrown in the deep end. How did you view it as it all unfolded?
I thought it was that's one area of criticism that I would not aim at the manager, because that was freakish. One goalkeeper, the number two choice, injures himself in the warm-up. The number one choice, who currently does not have a club, is then injured straight away. And someone, Kieran Slicker, who would not have come on Friday night but for freaky circumstances, comes in and has a nightmare. So that's not really Steve Clarke's fault, but we are seriously short.
Steve Clarke picked him though, here.
Yeah,
Steve Clarke picked
him. But with no intention of having him on the park, David. So he got unlucky there. As I say, there were many...
I suppose that's the argument, because some people would say, why are you selecting a player that you wouldn't want to play, essentially? And I get the reasons that, you know, he's going into the squad because he wants him around the environment in the hope that he can be a player going forward. And there'll be other people that would have been quite happy that a player like him was selected, because Steve Clarke, sometimes people use it as a stick to beat him with, that maybe he doesn't give youth a chance as much. And that was him getting him into the squad. It was quite a complicated scenario, and it's proven to be even messier now, having to call up another couple of goalkeepers, one in Callum McKenna, who was already training, the 18-year-old who's played for Queen's Park, is now at Bournemouth, and Ross Doohan, who starts tonight.
But to make a club comparison, when Celtic play in the Champions League, for example, you would have Kasper Schmeichel in goal, you would have Sinisalo on the bench, but you could also have Scott Bain on the bench. Now, if Sinisalo injured himself in the warm-up and Schmeichel was injured in the early minutes of the game, Scott Bain would have to come on, but there would never be any intention of bringing him on.
But is the difference there that Celtic have a third-choice goalkeeper who is experienced and who has, you know, loads of first-team appearances and has played many times across his career, whereas Scotland didn't have that. They had the opposite. They had someone that had never played a league match before, had only appeared for, what, two cup appearances?
Again, we had so... It's the one area that I won't use as a stick to beat Steve Clarke with, because, I mean, tonight we're playing a goalkeeper who has been on holiday in Turkey and who must have got a phone call late on Friday night or first thing on Saturday morning to break into his holiday. So that's the one area where I'm, you know, poor old Kieran Slicker came on horribly underprepared for international football, and it showed. But it's the overall picture of recent times with Steve Clarke. And I go back to Germany. I mean, everyone over there had a great time, but the football was awful. And when we needed to be ultra competitive and throw caution to the winds and fight to survive in the tournament, we were even worse. And that's why people at that point began to seriously question Steve Clarke. And then came the defeat at home to Greece at Hampden, which was a destructive result for us. And it's gathered momentum. And Friday night, again, to use a Scottish expression, put a tin lid on it.
Well, thank you to David, 01419511025. If you get any more thoughts on Scotland, we'd like to hear them. Of course, Scotland in action at the moment, 3-0 up against Liechtenstein, or if it's domestic matters you want to talk about, it's the same number, 01419511025.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, 01419511025. The main focus is on Scotland's friendly against Liechtenstein. 88 minutes on the clock over in Vaduz. It's Liechtenstein 0, Scotland 3, two Shea Adams goals in the first half, giving Scotland a decent lead going into the break. George Hurst then scored his first Scotland goal, meaning that they are 3-0 up at the moment. Steve Clarke has made changes in the second half. He's brought on a good few players, trying to give them a bit of game time for the national team. So any thoughts on that? 01419511025. Ian is in Greenock. Ian, how are you feeling about Scotland at the moment?
Hi, doing Andrew. How are you doing, Stu? Congratulations on breaking your duck, mate. And,
it's a proud Andrew, moment.
He won 7-4, so he did.
Oh, 7-4, did I do you out of an extra point now? There we go. We'll get that updated on the table, get you a better point difference.
Was it Aidan Johnson to make it 5-4?
It was, yeah.
Yep.
Aye, so, and then you get two extra questions. But anyway.
I'm glad someone's keeping score better than I am.
Aye. You were talking about at the top of the show, Steve Clarke's tenure.
Yeah.
Time to go. I think I spoke to you after the Euros, Sue, because Super Scoreboard were out there in Munich, in Cologne, I think they were as well. Because I've seen the boys out there, I think it was Gordon and Mark, wasn't it?
Correct.
So, but I spoke to you, it was time for his tenure to go. Why take two Celtic players all the way to Germany and don't use them at all in James Forrest and Greg Taylor? I don't know if you remember, Hugh, did you not play Kenny McLean at right back or something like that?
He's prone to that kind of thing, you know, the players out of position. But, you know, I agree with you. I thought that was the cut-off point. You know, gratitude for getting Scotland back-to-back to major finals. But the performance at both of those major finals was poor, very poor. And when we had to fight for our survival, we didn't come across. He's a conservative with a small C, Steve Clarke. And we didn't do everything that we might have done to see if we could remain in the tournament. I thought that was a natural cut-off point. However, I have to go back to my basic point. I don't think the SFA hierarchy, the president, Mike Mulroney, the chief executive, Ian Maxwell, I don't think they share your opinion and mine, Ian. I think they believe that Steve Clarke is the right man for the job.
What would need to happen then? What would be the tipping point if you feel the Scottish FA aren't at that point with Steve Clarke?
Well, I mean, obviously failure to qualify for the World Cup finals, and that's it. That really is the tipping point and the natural cut-off point. But the important thing is that they are of a mind to let Steve Clarke begin the qualification campaign. Denmark away, Belarus away. I just think that the team at the moment is in a cul-de-sac.
You had a nail on the head there.
Yeah.
What have the worrying signs been for you, Ian?
Well, listen, you just epitomised everything there. What he said, a cul-de-sac, a conservative with a capital C. So it's worrying signs, by the way, because I never watched the game on Friday because I was out, but the two injuries bad, sure.
For McTominay and Tierney, I think Steve Clarke has said that had there been a week-long gap in between matches rather than a two-day gap, then they might have made it. So I don't think the injuries are serious. But it was just the way he laid out his team, five at the back, the up front, toothless. And he thought,
how much of the responsibility needs to fall on the players as well when the players have so many of them performed at such a high level across the season? We've talked about, you know, McTominay and Gilmore at Napoli. We've talked about Lewis Ferguson and what he's done with Bologna. Yeah. You know, they've been, you know, title winners at Celtic and Liverpool with Andy Robertson. there's got to be a balance there that the players need to take
without doubt
some of the responsibility as well.
You can't absolve.
Andrew, can I come back in, Andrew?
Yeah.
Just a wee quick one for you. I know it's coming to the end of the show, guys. To you and yourself, Andrew. Now, if you look at the games in the Nation Cup against to keep us into the top tier against Greece, they were powder puff. It was poor performances. After a back to the wall performance in Greece. But what I will stipulate and what I will say, if the players, your strongest team is available, get that strongest team on the park, because you hit the nail on the head. Denmark and Belarus back to front could be no points at all.
Well, thank you to Ian. It has finished. In for Doots, there was a bit of late drama as well. Shea Adams has bagged himself a hat-trick. It was a cross into the box by Tommy Conway, headed in by Shea Adams. So it's finished. In for Doots, Liechtenstein 0, Scotland 4. We do have time to squeeze in a final call. John is in Greenock. John, what's on your mind tonight?
So myself have been linked with the film striker today. I hope Wendy's not going to be another work in progress. Because as you said at the start of the show, if Greg Taylor goes, we're weak. We've lost a really good few players in the last few years, and we've not replaced them. We've just not replaced them with the guys that's come in. I'd like to see them make a big dent in the £100 million that they're making after Celtic fans with the Champions League money, and all that money that's lying there making interest. As I say, across the city, it's got £20 million, they may get more than that. So we'll need, as Rogers keeps saying, we need quality signings, not work in progress. It's just going to come in. We need guys that's going to come in and hit the ground running.
You do need that balance as well, don't you, John? Because, you know, Callum Osmond, 19 years old, especially when you look at the fact that Scottish players are getting robbed of their young talent down south. Does that maybe seem like it's just the kind of opposite move that Celtic are trying to maybe bolster their young talent after having some taken from down south?
Well, that's right, but you've got three guys there that paid £26 million for them. I'm up in the park watching a team at night, and I've been there. You've got a centre-half, couldn't trust him with nothing. You've got Aya, a leader, what you call a big boy. £9 million. Norwich held out for that money, but had to pay the £9 million. And who's the other boy? Who's the other one?
Engels.
Arnie Engels.
Engels, he's another waste of space. £11 million for that boy. They got ripped off of him, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't think I'd call him a waste of space. I think that's going too far. But on the day that 49ers Enterprises took over at Rangers, I said here that Celtic had to react to whatever they were doing on Rangers' behalf. Rangers are clearly on a different trajectory now. The soap opera years since 2011 are at an end. Now they've got serious businessmen running the club, and Celtic have to respond. They have to be proactive and not reactive. And I think with respect to young Callum Osmond at Fulham, Celtic have to be looking at bigger players than that for what lies ahead. I say Arne Engels is a player, I think a fine player, good future, but he has to start turning up more often on the bigger occasions. There are many question marks surrounding Nicholas Kuhn, Dyson Maeda. Are they staying or going, or what is going on? And Celtic do have to match Rangers. The days of David Murray saying to me, if Celtic put down a fiver, I'll put down a tenner, are over, because the balance of power has switched the other way. And Celtic have to make sure that they have a good summertime transfer window, because I have a feeling they're going to need it.
Well, thank you to John. Unfortunately, that is all we've got time for tonight. A busy night on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We had the live second half between Liechtenstein and Scotland, a 4-0 win for Scotland, a Shea Adams hat-trick, and a first Scotland goal for George Hurst. So we can get more of your reaction to that game tomorrow night, and of course domestic matters as well, always dominating things in Scotland. So you can give us a call tomorrow with any thoughts on that. But for now, thank you to Hugh Keevans in the studio. Thank you for all your calls, all your tweets, and for those that joined us on the live stream as well. It's Callum Gallagher that's up next.